Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, Episode 7 for December 19th, 2006. Hands across the water. Net at Night is brought to you by Dell. For great laptop and desktop deals, visit the Leo's Picks page at twit.tv/Dell. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. Good evening. It is 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time. From California, I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur in Toronto.
And we are on TalkShoe. Good evening, everybody. It's time for Net at Night. I'm probably not the best way to begin the show. We were in the spaciest conversation ever.
It was really weird, Leo. I feel kind of sick and disoriented.
Basically, my premise was that the Matrix is... I've tried this out on other people, and everybody looks at me really strangely when I say this. That the Matrix is actually a true story. The machines have taken over, and this is a simulated reality that we're all in.
Wow.
But nevertheless, we're going to talk about Web 2.0 tonight, and that's the subject of the show coming up a little bit later on, Rael Dornfest from Stick It. And of course, one of the big stories is that tomorrow the iPhone will come out.
Yes, that is definitely the rumor on Gizmodo.com is that the iPhone will be coming out tomorrow. And it's kind of interesting because if you look at what they posted on their blog, they didn't really write too much. They just said, Gizmodo knows iPhone will be announced on Monday. I guarantee it. It isn't what I expected at all, and I've already said too much. And this is from Brian Lamb. And so I think, you know, there's a ton of rumors online now that, you know, this might possibly be true, which is kind of interesting because initially we had thought that the iPhone wouldn't come out until maybe next spring, maybe in January, but possibly even later than that.
It's hard to believe that Apple would release a product of that importance 5 days before Christmas weekend. I mean, it's kind of nutty.
I know. It's really nutty. And I mean, to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't believe this at all, except that it's on Gizmodo. And
right.
You know, generally speaking, they tend to be pretty accurate with a lot of their predictions. And so, you know, I mean, you sent this to me, and then I think I had half a dozen other people send this to me. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's everywhere, and you really can't get away from it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with
it. I'm going to get in line tomorrow morning, first thing.
Leo, I got to get in line for a Wii and iPhone. I can't keep up anymore. There's too many things.
Doesn't that basically evidence that companies have gotten incredibly good at manipulating us now and our desires and needs?
Yeah, I think they have. I mean, initially when even the Wii came out, I didn't think, oh, I want to have a Wii. I have to have a Wii. But now after reading about the Wii so much, seeing people playing and seeing how destructive it can be, must buy a Wii. I am like a crazy person. Looking for a Wii. I'm going to sleep over at a Best Buy any day now.
We got to have a drumbeat. It's just the drumbeat. You can't miss it. It's really interesting what's happening in our culture. And I think that in a way, I don't think it's very good. I think these companies have gotten so good at marketing that look at Apple. I mean, Apple's brilliant at this. We are talking about a product they've never announced, never acknowledged, never said would happen. And yet the drumbeat, the amount of free publicity they're getting for this thing. And all it takes is one line in Gizmodo. And everybody's going crazy. Well,
And the DeSantis brothers, I mean, the video that they made that they put on Google Video that's on YouTube as well, and I just posted it on my blog, you know, it's amazing. And they did that, I think, back in January. And there's been dozens and dozens of people who've done spec videos of what the iPhone might look like. And so it's like a press campaign that they never had to pay for.
So we'll find out tomorrow if it's true. Can I get one for you while I'm in line?
Yeah, I'd love to have an iPhone.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
And if you see a Wii at Apple for some odd reason, even if it's in a small child's hands, please grab it for me.
Give me that Wii! You don't need it, kid! Give me that
you
Wii!
You don't need it.
You don't need an iPhone. You just got a new Nano. Nano, nano.
I know. Thank you. Thank you so much, Leo.
I'm not asking for thanks, but I'm just pointing out that
stop deflecting. I'm going to thank you. It's a wonderful gift that you got for all of us, and I love it. And $10 from the purchase of the iPod Nano goes towards fighting AIDS in Africa, so it's a great gift to give at this time of year.
That's for the red one, the product red one only. Yeah.
Yep. And
Kind of why I did it. I thought, you know, this is neat because it's giving to charity. And it's getting, you know, it's kind of a neat thing.
And you bought, did you buy 28 of them?
Oh, let's
not right?
talk about it, please. I have more to get. It turns out I forgot a few people.
Yeah, but it is definitely a great gift. And then my funny little story this morning that I wanted to mention, and I have to mention this link for anyone else who had this problem,
oops,
is that I had charged the Nano overnight because, you know, when you get an iPod, you should let it charge. And then I turned it on, and I was doing a few different things this morning. And when I turned it on and it had the language setting that came up on the menu.
That's the first thing that happens, yeah.
It's the first thing that happens, and I accidentally chose Polish, not really realizing what I was doing. And then all the menu items were in Polish, and I couldn't get rid of them at all.
That would be a good prank to play on somebody.
Oh, yeah, it's a really good prank. And then, you know, I started searching online, and then finally, and I'll post this in the chat room, and then we'll post it on Twitter after this. I finally found this site on Apple that would tell you how you can actually change the settings, because you can't just, you know how you can actually reset the iPod?
Right.
That doesn't work to go back to the original settings for the language. So you actually have to go in and go through the whole menu item, even though it's in Polish, and get to the end where you have the option to change the language off again. But fortunately, on the Apple site, there's a little video that tells you exactly how to do that.
You can also, I didn't tell you this, but I just thought it was so funny. You can also run the restore program, which formats the drive, but it does put it back to the very beginning the way it was when you got it out of the box. And it will ask you once again what language you want to use. But I like figuring it out. You figured out the Polish. I think that's kind of neat.
Well, I figured it out only with help from the Apple site. But it,
you
and
could
then
have gone to Zdenko or somebody and said, hey, translate this.
Honestly, Leo, afterwards, my first reaction after I did it and I fixed it was to go in and I wanted to change it to other languages to see if I could
you
do it again.
You are such a rebel.
Leo, I don't know about
you
that.
You are the worst rebel. You are terrible. This is something I'm starting to learn about Amber. She seems so nice and genteel and, you know, almost conservative. I mean, just, you know, I mean, sweet and fun, lots of energy, but just you don't seem like you would really step out of the box much. Whoa, is that not true? You will do, if somebody tells you to do something, you'll do the opposite. And you would just do that, wouldn't you? You'd have a Chinese iPod just to see if you could do it.
Well, I don't know. I guess I might.
She is so
That's actually,
funny.
It gets me in trouble a lot, though, because what I find, when I know the directions to a certain place and I'm driving, I automatically will turn just to find a new route to get there. And I do it all
see?
The time, and
see?
I know I shouldn't do it.
It's because you're ADD, and you're, you know, we've been talking about this on some of the shows, and you and I are ADD. And when we got together with Merlin Mann, and that was the scariest thing, the three of us.
And Steve Gibson, Leo.
Who is, I think he's artificially ADD because of all the coffee.
Yeah.
But there was not one sentence finished.
No.
The whole time.
I was so exhausted after our dinner this week, I didn't know what to do.
So, now I forgot what we were talking about.
Well, we have a bunch of other links. One of the
Let's
links that
them.
I had sent to you is from it's the global web stats for what browsers people are using. And this just came out today. I think today's December 17th. That's right.
Yep.
What they're saying is that internationally, 25% of people online are using Firefox as their browser,
wow.
Which is, I find that just fascinating and great at the same time.
Now ours, you know, if I go to the stats on twit.tv, it's more like 70% Firefox. So
that's because techies are smart, Leo.
Exactly. So if you know, that 25% number is everything, and even and so if you think about everything, that's amazing, because most people just use what came with the computer. They never even think about anything else. So 25% is huge.
It's really huge.
And when you're talking about people who are like the people who listen to this show, it's much higher than half. I mean, it's dominant.
Yeah, it's really dominant. So interesting stats, considering that we were just talking, I think last week or the week before, about the European stat that came out that said, and this was what got us on this whole Swedish conversation, and then I've been thinking about Sweden for like 7 days straight, is that in Europe, I think it was 23% of people using Firefox. And I thought, hey, that's really high penetration. But, you know, internationally, it's even higher, which is pretty amazing.
You're even like into Swedish bands now, like The Knife, right?
Oh, I'm into a lot of Swedish bands now, but mostly Swedish bands and culture, but it's because people keep sending me stuff from Sweden, articles and, you know, different blogs.
You look Swedish.
I don't know.
You could be, you might be, you know, I think your parents actually got you from a Swedish baby farm.
Thanks, Leo. I'm going to sleep well tonight now that I know that my parents aren't my real parents.
And the Matrix is real, okay? Just, you know, yeah. A couple of things to think about. So
yes.
Explain to me then, what have you been reading Swedish news online? Is that how you found out about the fireproof goat?
Well, this is from Nathan, and this is this guy in the UK who sends me news once in a while. And as soon as I mention that I'm into anything Swedish or anything else for that matter, I tend to get a bunch of emails about it. And he sent me this link to an article that was saying that there is a fireproof goat in Stockholm in Sweden that they put up every year at Christmas time.
It's a traditional straw goat.
A traditional straw goat. It's gigantic. I guess it's, 13 meters high.
It's 43
feet. And actually, sorry, it's not in Stockholm. It's just north of Stockholm. And the goat has been burned down 20 times since it was first erected in 1966. So it's tradition that they try to burn this thing down. And 20 times since 1966, they've been successful. And its head, it's been run over by a car, had its legs cut off. And it's only survived beyond Christmas Day on 10 occasions. And it turns out this year that people are trying to burn it down, but the goat is actually fireproof. So this is, you know, more... Swedish culture.
And this makes you want to go there?
I think anyone who's rebellious enough to try to burn down a giant straw goat,
see,
it sounds like fun, Leo.
You see? She's actually a rebel. Last year, the goat was burned down by vandals dressed as the Gingerbread Man and Santa Claus.
They're creative, too. That's what I love about them.
We're going to Sweden.
As long as I don't have to listen to ABBA too much. That's the only thing I don't think
Are they from
handle.
Sweden?
I think so.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah,
well, so is The Knife a Swedish band? Because that's your new band on MySpace.
I'm not sure where they're from. You know, I've kind of looked into them, and it seems like at one point I thought they were from South Africa, so I'm still investigating where they're from, but I do really like them
They
a lot.
Sound a little Bjork-y, to be honest.
Yeah, they do sound a little Bjork-y. I like the song Show Me Yours, and you were playing that in the pre-show. It's a really great song.
You're also into the Tokyo Police Club these days.
Tokyo Police Club, TV on the Radio, a few other bands.
How do you get such an eclectic taste in music?
You know, honestly, I have to thank everybody who sends me emails and sends me notes on MySpaces. As soon as you kind of get the word out, you know, in terms of what type of music you're listening to or what tech stuff you're into, I mean, we have such a great community of people who are constantly, sending stuff our way. And when you get a few people sending you the same link, you sort of know, hey, it might be time to pay a little bit of attention to that.
There is, besides the Matrix thing and the burning goat, there is something happening in the world. When the human beings for the first 40,000 years, you would maybe meet 20 or 30 other human beings. In fact, they estimate, I think this Malcolm Gladwell wrote about this in The Tipping Point. They estimate
I love that book.
That your human brain can only really encompass about 150 people. After that, and he mentions that because there's a perfect team size of about, I think it's about 100. You don't want to get any bigger than that because then everybody can't know everybody on the team. Is it 100? It might even be a smaller number. Maybe it's 50. And so the human brain is wired for that. But now enter the internet age and all of a sudden we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of friends all over the world. Are we ready for this?
I can't remember their names, but
it's a little confusing. Don't you think it's a little overwhelming?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit overwhelming. I mean, that's, part of what's going on, I think, with the internet is just that you're able to connect with people from anywhere. And, you know, it just all of a sudden you have, like you said, hundreds or thousands of different contacts. And I don't know. I think it's pretty neat, which is why if you want to bring up the Time magazine.
That's
article,
where I'm going.
I knew it, Leo. We've worked together for too long.
Like clockwork.
Like clockwork. That Time magazine has just said that their person of the year is you.
Me?
Not Leo. No, not Leo.
Oh, it's you.
No, it's not me. It's all of us. All the internet users.
I said they probably should have said is yous guys. Then we would have known it's everybody, not just you.
I know, it's very interesting. But if you look back into the history of all of the People of the Year for Time magazine, which I think started in 1927, is that, you know, it's very rare. Actually, it's never happened that they've had, you know, such a mass of people. I think in the 60s they had said that it was to the generation that's under 25 years old, and that's the only other time that they've done anything where it's really just a wide group of people.
We talk about it on Twitter a little bit. You'll hear that tomorrow. And Dvorak was all upset. He said, "You can't name the person a year. You can't make it a construct."
Oh no. Sorry, go ahead.
The person of the year is the blue pill. I'm sorry. You were saying something interesting.
Originally when we were talking about this thing with Time Magazine and the person of the year, as we know, they went onto YouTube and the editor asked people on YouTube to suggest the person of the year. And a lot of people said it should be the YouTube founder.
That's what you thought. I will give you credit for this. 4 days ago, you said it's going to be Steve and Chad.
I figured it would be Steve and Chad from YouTube. I figured it had to be, you know, the internet generation or something to do with the internet, just because, you know, it's just made such an impact this past year. And I think in 99, you were mentioning it was Jeff Bezos from Amazon.
Right.
And
it was the PC one year.
Mm-hmm. It was a PC one year, and it just made perfect sense. But in some ways, I sort of think it's a cop-out to say that the person of the year is you. I mean, why not name the YouTube guys? Like, they right. really are kind of the leaders of the generation of people that are broadcasting their lives.
In a way, that's too limiting. And I kind of like what Time Magazine was saying, which is it's not YouTube alone. It's MySpace. It's Wikipedia. It's Facebook. It's Dig. It's the social aspect of the internet. It's user-generated content. It's really taking off. And in many ways, it's what we were talking about. It's just kind of this. I remember the first time I got on the internet a long time ago. It was very early on in the internet. I was probably 90 or 91, and there was no browsers. It was Gopher and Lynx, and no, it wasn't even Lynx, I don't think. It was very text oriented. And even then, I got this really strange feeling of this. There are a lot of people out there. And we're all now suddenly connected in a way we were not connected before. And here we are 20 years later, seeing the result of that, or 16 years later, seeing the result of that, which is this kind of amazing network that forms when we all get connected. And it's just beginning.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, the only thing that I think, though, is that, you know, to pick a group of people, they can kind of do that any year as there are trends in our world, right? And so that's the only thing that I think of is that, is it good to just, you know, pick the general population that's online. I kind of like the idea that it's just, you know, one person or two people or,
Who would you pick though? I mean, MySpace, Dig, maybe Kevin Rose should be the person of the year.
No, I would pick the YouTube guys. Yeah. I definitely would pick them. And I only say that because I think of YouTube as being kind of the leader in some ways. Even though they weren't first, I think they definitely had the biggest impact. The idea that I can sit in front of a web camera and, you know, broadcast my life is pretty amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, MySpace is big. Wikipedia, I mean, Jimmy Wales has done something amazing there. You know, what's neat is we know all these people.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. It's kind of fun to be one of the reasons I've always liked what my job is and your job too is we get to watch this stuff happen. You know, I never really wanted to be in the industry because then you have to focus on whatever narrow niche you're in. We're sitting on the sidelines cheerleading as this amazing stuff happens and we can dip into any part of it. And now I feel that more than ever that especially shows like this, we're really part of a revolution.
I know, it's great fun. I mean, it's fun as well if you see some of the people who, before they actually get really well known and really big, is that you kind of knew them when they were trying to get their service out there, their web company, and just kind of to grow with them and watch them, you know, exceed and buy yachts. Oh, wait a second. We'll do that, Leo.
I don't want a yacht. Truthfully, you know what? The best part about this is getting to know people who are doing, or smart, interesting people doing interesting things. That, to me, that's the reward of this. There was in Time Magazine, they talk about Steve and Chad at the GQ, some GQ party, and they're standing there talking to a Leonardo DiCaprio. And, you know, I mean, Steve's 28 years old, right? And he's standing there next to Leo DiCaprio and all these, you know, and Al Gore comes up to him as he's waiting on the line to the men's room and taps him on the shoulders and said, "Nice job with YouTube." And it's really, it's an interesting thing that's happening. And in some ways it's culture clash. It's the old and the new.
It really is
head on.
And I think the neat thing too about Chad and Steve, I've never met them personally, but we've chatted with Steve a few times. It's so cool because they do really seem like nice guys too, you know. And that's when you see really good quality people like that exceed and do so well and stay sort of grounded. I think it's pretty amazing.
You say that Google is going to launch the G Phone. What is that?
I've read a couple of articles about this. I saw this on Dig as well as on Digital Journal, and it just looks like Google has met with a cell phone provider, I guess Orange, and they've met and talked about actually having a Google phone. I don't know all the details of it, but it just seems something, you know, that's fairly new, and I've noticed that in the past 24 hours it's popped up on tech blogs all over the place.
Wow. Google's really getting into a lot of interesting businesses. You know, they're doing radio ads now. They've got TV and radio ads. What an interesting company.
I was going to see if you wanted to maybe mention that search engine.
Yeah, I mentioned Google. It on Command N. I talk about it on Command N, but I don't mind scooping myself a little bit. It's kind of neat because Google's doing it. It's called Search Mash, SearchMash.com. And it's an Ajax version of Google, which I happen to like an awful lot. Have you tried it? Have you started using it?
Oh, I love it. It's great.
I think it's a big improvement. So basically what happens is it uses Ajax so that on the right-hand side you can have the image and video and Wikipedia results, but they're not there until you press the plus button. You can add and remove details. You can add more to the page. When you start typing, it automatically goes to the search entry page. I talk about it on Command N. You should really watch Command N because Amber and I go ice skating. It's really wonderful.
Command N will be out tomorrow. We didn't go ice skating, but we did that. We were near a rink, so that's good enough. Leo, I love skating.
Are you a skater?
Well, I like it. It's fun. It would have been fun to go, but...
I am not a skater. You would not have been fun had I been there on the ice. You would have been...
There were a lot of people around as well. It might have been a little bit dangerous.
You have been holding me up.
Oh, that will be out tomorrow, actually. So, I talked to Brian tonight, and he is working on Command N, so that will be out probably mid-afternoon tomorrow.
Cool.
Actually, Leo, I just thought of something. Do we have anyone who's coming on right now, or can
no.
I mention
we could
another
talk.
Link?
Yes.
Okay. We should talk about Skype and the Skype deal that's coming out, or has already come out.
You mean the stand they're taking against lying liars? The Skype add-on that the Kish Kish lie detector? No, not that.
No, I don't know about that. No, I was thinking about how now it's free and up until the end of December to call to use Skype to call any phones in Canada and the U.S., any landlines or cell phones. But come January 1st, it's going to change and it's going to be $30 for the year. But if you order before January 1st, you can get it for $15. And I know we're big fans of Skype just because the quality is great and it's easy to use and I think that's a pretty good deal. $15 a year for unlimited long distance.
We talked about it on Command N and I immediately went out and purchased it because I figured 15
oh, did
bucks.
You?
Yeah, it's for a year. And I call Canada a lot. I'm more and more thinking that Skype is the killer app. I've been trying to decide and I think I've come up with what I consider the two most important applications of 2006. One is Skype. Mm-hmm. I think without a doubt. I mean, you wouldn't see this podcast network without Skype. I think in terms of the way it's changing how people think about telephony is significant.
Oh yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's just amazing. And what's still amazing to me is so many people don't really know about it. And, they're, you know, unsure if it's safe to use or, you know, how it can work for them. And it's so great. My mom calls me on Skype all the time.
Now that's interesting because so she's comfortable with using it.
She loves it. In fact, I think she calls me, I don't know, almost every day in the afternoon and tells me she's calling from Skype because she's so excited about it. I don't know if she has anything else to say except for that, but she absolutely loves it.
I think it's
a
revolution.
She finds it easy to use.
Now, does she use it in Sri Lanka to call you as well?
Yep. Yeah, she uses it in Sri Lanka. But I think the thing is, you know, my brother and I have really kind of set my parents up to be comfortable with technology and using the headset and everything. And they both have Macs. So I think in some ways that makes it a little bit easier. I'm not trying to be totally biased, but I do think, it's more simple in terms of just, you know, everything is just kind of plug and play, right?
Get a headset. I agree. Well, and what I like and I think is part of the revolution is that it is cross-platform. It works equally well on Mac and Windows.
And the video component.
Yeah. I just love it.
It's great.
But just so you know, we are going to fix Amber's audio. We're ordering an ISDN line for Amber and a codec so that she will be radio quality. She'll be full quality when we do these podcasts. I don't know how much longer it's going to take to get, but as much as we love Skype... that we think this show is too important to rely on Skype. So, and it's, I think it's part of it is because it's going to Canada. You know, so the longer the distance, the more trouble you're going to have. Let's call Rail Dornfest. Let me mention a little bit about who Rail. Well, I'll call him and then we'll mention a little bit about who Rail Dornfest is. Here, he's going to be on his laptop, so it might sound a little echoey. Hello, Rail.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
Oh, we're great, and you sound fine.
Oh well, thank you very much.
Hi there, Amber.
Rail, let me introduce Amber MacArthur.
Hi, Amber. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Rail
good.
Has been around for ages. He, I don't know. Are you still at O'Reilly, the editor of the Hacks series?
I actually have left O'Reilly. I'm still doing the Emerging Technology Conference, but I'm no longer actually at O'Reilly.
But created the Hacks series, which is neat.
I did.
And is now at a new company, a new startup called...
Values of N is the name of the company.
One of the best company names ever, I think. Values of N. I love that. Rail also, among other things, created the fantastic Blossom blogging software for OS X. He is one of the founders of Mobile Whack. Are you still involved with Mobile Whack?
No, I stopped doing Mobile Whack a while back. I've sort of had to slim down on what I can do at a time.
Well, I think...
It's smart, Leo.
Yeah, see, that's one thing Amber and I have never learned, and we're paying the price. Our hair's falling out now.
I don't guarantee lack of hair loss if you actually go down to one thing at a time, but still.
One thing I love is what you're... The first, I guess, is this the first product from Values of N?
It is indeed.
Stickit, STIKKIT.com. It made its debut at the Web 2.0 conference just a month ago. And it is, you're still in early beta, but already I think it is extremely promising. Can you describe what Stickit is?
Sure. So Stickit extends from watching for a long time how people basically seem to live most of their lives between the applications that are actually supposed to help them live their lives, ironically enough. So while people try and use to-do lists and they try and use Outlook and they try and use various different tools to try and manage their lives and sort out appointments and keep track of things and remember bits of information, they tend to have those bits of information all over the place. So what they, the easiest route to getting things down seems to be writing it down on a piece of paper, usually a sticky note, or a virtual sticky note on their desktop or laptop. And so what we do is we intercede at the point where they first write something down and make sure that it's worthwhile, that's routed to the right place, so that it was with worthwhile writing down in the first place. So if you write down something that looks like an address, it becomes an address. If you write something down that looks like an event, it becomes an event and is scheduled in your calendar. Same with to-dos, same with bookmarks, and more to come.
It's a web-based application. It's not a desktop application. It reminds me a little bit of a wiki, kind of.
The big difference between it and Wiki, I would say, I mean, there's several, but my the one I'm most interested in terms of how we built Stickit is that the lowest atomic unit, the smallest atomic unit, is not the page, but the little bit of information. So we try and get people to use it for small bits of information rather than writing, you know, some 7 or 8 page document wherein is embedded a date or a time or something like that.
But as you said, I mean, you could use it for notes, for to-do lists, for calendaring. Yes. It has all that. It has an address book, but much more free form than any of those normally are.
Absolutely. I mean, when you're on the phone and somebody says, you know, my name's Joe and my number's 555-1212, you will never reach for Outlook or not even address book, which is fairly decent.
That's true.
It, you know, requires, and if you have somebody's signature line, for example, in their email, you can't just drop them to address book. It requires major or minor surgery, depending on how you look at it, to enter that information in. You usually have to chop it up into pieces. I usually end up basically putting the first name and last name in and then pasting the rest into notes. So that's essentially what we're doing, is we're trying to make it so that you can just pop open a window no matter where you are, whether offline or online, or if you're offline, you can use email and just forward it in.
I do that, by the way, with my BlackBerry. It's so cool. I mail myself notes to remember things to do, you know, phone numbers, whatever, and it automatically puts them in the right place. It's really neat.
Yeah, and you can actually use it alongside your regular, you know, communications. So I BCC Stickit all the time while I write back and forth to people, and all they see is strange little notations at the bottom saying, you know, meeting times and tags and so forth, and it just shows up in my calendar, and I don't have to write it twice.
It's really neat. I had Merlin Mann was at work with me last week, and he was visiting Toronto, and we sat down and looked at Stickit, and it's very cool to actually type in, you know, lunch with Amber, lunch with Leo, and then, you know, it automatically knows that that is an appointment. I mean, it's just every single time he did it, it knew exactly where he wanted to actually categorize that information.
Well, I appreciate that. It's you know, we're working hard on it. The parsing is it takes a lot of work to get right, and we're continuing to work on that. We're also continuing to work on especially the people part of it, people and phone numbers and places and so forth. That's the part that needs the most work and is in most beta, if you will. But we have a new version of that coming out this week, and then we've got lots up our sleeves that we plan to release around the middle to end of January.
Just to give you an idea, there's tagging, but it's all very transparent. If you want to add tags, you just put a line in the note anywhere that says tag as, and then any number of words for your tags. If you want to share it, for instance, I can share notes with Amber. I just put the word share and then Amber's email address. If she has a Stickit account, it automatically becomes a Stickit in her account as well.
And actually, if you don't have an account, I mean, if you share it with somebody just by email address, they'll automatically email them and let them know there's somebody shared with them. So
it's just so transparent. I just love it.
I think the best thing about it, too, because initially what I kept thinking when I was chatting with Merlin about it is, you know, hey, how is this going to be relevant to me? Because I use Google Calendar and I have all these programs already running that where I'm keeping all this information, but it integrates with a lot of these programs.
Yeah, you can export to Google Calendar in 30 boxes. I mean, the one thing we didn't want to do was build yet another calendar, plenty of those. We just want to be able to push your data to anywhere it needs to go. And in fact, the new Microsoft Office 2007, with Outlook 2007, it now understands this iCal or ICS format, so you'll be able to push your calendar data to Microsoft Office as well.
And so you can actually, can you send in messages, you can send email on your phone. Can you, are there other ways that it integrates with anything on the mobile side of things?
Sure. So most mobile phones these days, you can do text to email. It's sort of cheating, but basically you can SMS to your email, to an email address. And if you do that, it'll drop it in too. I SMS to Stickit all the time as well. And also it will not only remind you via email, if you, as Leo probably noticed, if you type in, or both of you probably noticed, if you type in remind me or remind us or remind all, it'll remind everybody you shared with via email as well as via SMS.
It's so cool. It's one of those things where you got to try it to get an idea of how powerful it is. Written in Ruby on Rails?
That's correct.
Wow. And is it going to scale well with Ruby on Rails, I think, Rail?
Of course.
You're a Perl guy.
No longer am I a Perl guy. I gave up my Perl for Lent, I believe.
you're a Ruby guy, really. Interesting.
Yeah, we've got a whole Ruby on Rails shop. We've got three programmers in-house, including myself, who do just Ruby on Rails programming. There's pretty much nothing else there apart from Ruby on Rails and a lot of tomfoolery in the back end.
I think it's important to note that this is really, as new as it is, a mature product because of Rails' experience developing a lot of applications for the web. It's, you know, this is something that you've been through iterations of in the past in some ways. So we're benefiting from that.
Well, I appreciate that. I've tried to bring in a lot in that I've learned over the years and try and fold it into what I've been doing now.
You plan on publishing an API?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I just announced on the blog today that there's actually an API that we haven't announced yet, but there are some little bits and pieces you can look at. There's actually a pretty good forum posting about how to get access to your API key and so forth. But we didn't want to formalize it until such time as we knew exactly what we wanted and what we thought other people would want as well.
Although Merlin showed me it works with Quicksilver quite easily and transparently, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it works beautifully. So if anybody, by the way, does Quicksilver plugins, feel free to contact me. I'd love to have people building plugins of any sort.
And I noticed that you guys got an honorable mention at Lifehacker for their Geek to Live Best Apps of 2006, which is pretty impressive. I've always followed everything that Lifehacker has to say about what some of the best apps are out there.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that. It was lovely to hear. I actually wrote to Gina afterwards and said, hey, we never did have that conversation, but I'm glad that she found Stickit anyway.
And you're only a month old, so it's pretty good. I mean, here we are, you know, 1 month in, and you're already winning best app.
Well, we've still got a lot to do, you know. Of course, as the creator, I can only see all the things that we need to do still. But
what are some of the plans of some of that stuff that you want to do?
So we're notoriously mum about what we're going to be doing, I'm afraid. But we definitely, you'll see more interaction via mobile. You'll see more interaction via, I mean, there's some obvious things. There's more interaction via SMS and more interaction via email. The email is just the beginning at this point. The web UI is going to be completely overhauled at this point. It's, you know, we try to get ready for the launch and all that and make it robust and basically launch only things that were bulletproof or near bulletproof. But there's a lot on the UI front that's going to be changing. changing in the next month or so. So look for that. We certainly are.
What's your end goal? Is it to, you know, keep it kind of running as its own company? Like, do you ever imagine it getting swallowed up by someone like a Google?
Well, I wouldn't put that aside. We are building the company to be sustainable, self-sustaining, and we are building it to best serve the users.
Good. I hate it when people have an exit strategy.
I know.
Yeah, I think everybody has an exit strategy, right?
Everybody has a number, but that doesn't mean you have to say, well, we're building this to sell, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Our exit strategy is to go on for a while and make everybody happy, because that's not an exit strategy. It's a continuance strategy. we have some ideas around around plans and some services we can layer on top. But we really didn't want to arbitrarily start charging and put a package out there that, you know, that doesn't really conform to the way people use it. I've always thought it was a bit strange when you have an application that charges you for using more than a certain number of pages, if you will, because, you know, quite frankly, it doesn't really cost anything to serve that much text, and also you're sort of punishing those who use it most and are most likely to share with other people. So
so you don't plan to charge at all, or do you plan to? How are you going to do that?
There will always be a free plan. We have some service ideas to layer on top of that, on top of the current base. And we basically plan to build out packages depending on, you know, certain types of use. There's certain vertical uses that we can see, but there will always be a free package.
Great. And I mean, when you get someone like Merlin Mann using this, who is Mr. Productivity Whiz himself, you know, as soon as Merlin comes to us and says, hey, you know, this is a great product and it works really well and it will totally help you organize your life, I mean, I'm you know, 100% listening, because I'm always trusting everything he says, except for getting my inbox to zero, because that's not working.
Good. I gave up on that a long time ago. I've been trying to get you to give up on that. That's nuts.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I can do it for about a day at a time, maybe, you know, out of every month or so.
Yeah, I gave up. I mean, I have a life. I'm sorry. My number one priority is not getting through all my email.
Was it Larry Lessig who declared email bankruptcy? Basically said, there's no way I can finish all this email. So I'm sorry if you wrote to me recently. Just write again if it was important.
Can I do that? How often are you allowed to do that?
I think you're allowed to do that at most once a day.
Okay.
Once a day? I was thinking like once a year.
No. I was thinking more like the Pope on a jubilee year, every 50th year. But I think once a day, is that sensible, Rail? You've proven once again you're a common sense guy. Rail Dornfest is with Stickit, STIKKIT. And I know we often talk about, in fact, for a while, I think when we were doing Inside the Net, the rap against the show was we were the specialists in the sign up and use it once category of websites. And there's certainly a lot of them out there in Web 2.0, but this is one I think you're going to use a lot. I know I am.
Yeah,
I appreciate
definitely that.
Yeah. Thank you, Rail. We appreciate your joining us.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right. All the best. It's great to talk to you again, and we'll catch up soon, I hope.
Sounds great, Leo. Thanks for having me on the show.
Rail Dornfest, who is just one of the great guys and has been around for quite a while. He does the Emerging Technology Conference for O'Reilly, and that is one of the most fun conferences ever.
So, Leo, is it in San Francisco? Or are they based
Portland.
There?
Portland.
Portland, okay.
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon versus Maine?
Yes.
Okay.
Very important. We have some music we could play. This is, you know, we were talking earlier about how involved your folks were in the tsunami relief. I guess that was in the pre-show.
Yes. I mean, they've been over there, 5 months probably throughout this year. And what they're doing is they're working in northeastern Sri Lanka, which is the hardest hit area from the tsunami, which was December 26th, coming up on a 2-year anniversary. And so they have a house over there, and my brother's over there all the time doing documentaries on, you know, how they're actually rebuilding that area of Sri Lanka.
Yeah, it was December 26th, 2004. And what a shocker it was. Well, on the line, I'll tell you what, let me play a song and then we'll talk to the guy who produced the album. It's called Hands Across the Water. It's a benefit album for tsunami relief featuring some amazing Celtic and Irish singers. Jackson Brown is on it. Bonnie Raitt, Rodney Crowell, Vince Gill, put together with the help of Andrea Zahn. And this is one of her songs from the CD. This is called Standing Still, I urge to. It's part of a song, Standing Still, from Andrea Zahn. It is from an album called Hands Across the Water from Compass Records. It's actually handsacrossthewater.com. And joining us right now, I think this is the right person. I hope it is. We shall find out in just a minute as I call him in on Skype. John, let's see, if John Cutliffe. There he is. Hey, John.
Hiya, Leo. How you doing?
This is John Cutliffe. I recognize the beautiful Irish brogue.
If you start calling me a leprechaun, I might have to get a bit mad.
Hey, John, it's Amber.
Hi, Amber. I'm a big fan of yours, too. I was so happy to watch Call for Help when they showed it down here for about 3 minutes, and now they've stopped showing it again.
Yeah, we're working on getting it back on the air, and I think we will. Unfortunately, Amber won't be on it because she's at City TV now, but it was a great show with Amber on it. So let me talk a little bit about what you're doing with this Hands Across the Water, or did, because the show's been, the album's been out for a while now.
The album's been out since, officially we released it on the anniversary of the tsunami last year, and it's been out since then. There were staggered releases worldwide, and we got it out to loads of countries around the world, and of course it's available online on iTunes and various other music sites.
Let me tell the story. 100 musicians, 30 studio engineers, 30 studios from Sydney to Winnipeg to San Francisco to Dublin to Galway, Glasgow, Nashville, all over the world. Really a neat idea. And they all donated their time, their music, their skills for this.
They all donated everything. We had to pay for nothing. I think we had to pay for one meal for a band in Nashville. A band of hungry Irish musicians that needed it, and we paid for a few little things along the way. We paid for the exclusive world rights to the artwork on the cover and stuff like that. But and we paid cost for manufacturing. Everything else was pretty much donated, right up as far as manufacturing, and even that was done very, very cheaply. So it was really cool.
And how much money have you raised so far for tsunami relief?
You know, I was actually trying to get exact figures tonight, but Gary and Allison, who own Compass Records, are actually in Atlanta, and I couldn't get them on their cell phone, but I know it's way up there in a couple of $100,000.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's still selling really well as we, you know, especially now coming up to Christmas and the anniversary again of the tsunami. There's also a big concert going on in Glasgow in January. One of the first things we did when we were starting it, we were going anyway to a festival in Glasgow called Celtic Connections. So when we were there, we kind of rallied a lot of people and said, look, we want your studios, we want your pianos, we want your guitars, we want you, and we want you to play on this thing. And while we were there, so we kind of, a lot of the album started in Glasgow as well as Nashville, so they're doing a concert over there to celebrate and to raise more money.
John says the best band in Canada, Amber. Do you know what the best band in the world may be? But certainly in Canada. They're in Winnipeg, right, John?
They're from Winnipeg, Manitoba. They've just been nominated for a Grammy. They're incredible. They're called the Ducks.
This is called Eifond Kiss. Is that how you'd say it?
Eifond Kiss. That's Eifond very good.
Kiss.
You're a Scotsman.
Karen Matheson with the Ducks and Brian Sutton, and this is the best band in the world. And if it's not the Ducks, it's crap. Listen.
A fun kiss, and then we sever. Say that fortune grieves him while
So that is Karen Matheson with the Ducks. Actually, I don't know if we actually got to hear any of the Ducks. They're coming in now, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to put them on hold, but just encourage you to go to handsacrossthewater.com and get yourself a copy of the CD, because it's a beautiful CD and it benefits tsunami relief. And I know that's something that's near and dear to Amber's heart and her family's heart. So we thought we'd play a little bit of that. John, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. You took me away from watching Family Guy, but that's fine. I think it's worth it to be on the show with you. And Amber.
Yes.
And Amber, if you ever need any help, I didn't realize you were so heavily involved in tsunami relief. And if you ever need any help, give me a shout. You have my Skype address now, so...
Yeah, you know what? That's great, because I was just looking at some of the work you guys are doing, and I was thinking, and I emailed my parents and just kind of let them know. So maybe we can chat about it. And,
anytime.
If there's anything that maybe we can all do together.
It's one of those
I'm
going to
try and drag Leo into my next project as well. I have ideas.
Well, where I go, Leo comes. So.
I'll wear a kilt. It's good.
No, don't, please.
Hey, John, it's a real pleasure. Thank you so much for what you've done and what you're doing. And I encourage everybody to go to handsacrossthewater.com. John Cutliffe, it's been a pleasure having you on Net at Night.
Thank you very much. You take care, guys, and a happy Christmas and any other holidays you celebrate.
Happy Christmas. Take care, John. You know, Amber, we had so many technical difficulties that we unfortunately are running short of time without having a chance to talk to people on the show. What do you want to do about that?
And we have a New Year's Eve special coming up, so we might have to get them all to call back in.
You know what we should do is we should just make the New Year's Eve show all calls.
Do that, yeah.
We are taking next Sunday off. For Christmas. We're not going to do a show Christmas Eve. Amber will be in PEI with her family. I'll be in Mexico with my family. And
ooh, that sounds better. Can I come?
Surf and sun and sand. But we will be back then December 31st for our live show, which is on TalkShoe and, of course, on the podcast as well. We thank the folks at Dell for providing the support for this. We couldn't do it without them. Make sure you check out the Twit Picks page, Leo's Picks at twit.tv/Dell, I've got the new XPS that we just bought for Call for Help. You should see this, Amber. It is a work of art. And, of course, we bought a Mac Pro. In fact, we used it on Call for Help. It's been just great having these two powerful machines. And I'm not sure which I love better. I also got a new Dell XPS M1210 laptop. And, well, they're all they're all except for the Mac. Dell doesn't sell those yet. But they're all on the Leo's Picks page. twit.tv/Dell. We thank you for buying anything you buy there. If you just follow those links, it goes to benefit. Twit, and thanks Dell for their support. Thanks too to TalkShoe, because they really put some money into this, and I think they've made the platform a lot more robust. It feels good.
Yeah, it's getting better all the time. Leo, I just have one question before we wrap up, because I think we have about a minute left. So now that I'm gone from Call for Help, you guys buy a bunch of computers?
Yeah. Hope you don't mind. We took your salary and we bought a couple of computers.
You're replacing me with the computers. This is my biggest fear ever.
Believe me, it's not an adequate replacement. And anytime you ever wanted to come back, you know you have a standing invitation. Unfortunately, they've got their hooks into Amber. And you know what? If you haven't seen her stuff on City News International, go to the website citynews.ca/international and watch the worldwide web segments. They are great. You're actually better now than you were. Darn your eyes. You can also catch Amber's blog at ambermack.com. And our Net at Night page, we've kind of closed it down and folded it back into Twit. So it's at twit.tv/ITN. Or just go to natn.tv. It'll take you there. Amber, should we do our usual... What? Should we do our usual goodbye? Want to open up the lines to all of our friends and say good night and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Festivus for the rest of us. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy winter solstice from Net at Night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.